CBS On the World, I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, The Hill, and Newsweek. Turn to North Korea. North Korea in the early days of the Biden administration. This odd headline that requires explication. Christopher Ahn, at very low risk of being killed in Spain, some experts say. Ahn's lawyer maintains North Korea wants to assassinate his client, accused of embassy break-in. First paragraph. Former U.S. Marine Christopher Ahn is fighting extradition to Spain for his role in the 2019 raid at the North Korean embassy in Madrid. His defense team alleges Ahn is at high risk for revenge killing by North Korean agents if he leaves the United States. Gordon, I vaguely remember this. What was the condition of the embassy in North Korea, in Spain by North Korea, and how did this turn out? I don't remember the conclusion. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, John. Well, in February of 2019, Christopher Ahn, who was with Free Joseon, which is essentially Free Korea, entered the North Korean embassy in Madrid. What happened inside is subject to a lot of dispute. Some people say that North Korean diplomats were tied up, but it's not very clear that there was any sort of action by Christopher Ahn, which was by himself. He probably was working with North Korean diplomats. And so at this point, Spain now wants to extradite him for a crime. Not clear that there was any crime under Spanish law. And as you've just pointed out, the real issue, though, is the safety of Christopher Ahn, because we know that the North Koreans want to get him, and they have killed people around the world, most notably Kim Jong-nam, the half-brother of the ruler of Kim Jong-un. And so this is it's a question of his personal safety.
We welcome Greg Scarlato, executive director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. Greg, how do you see this strange incident of the 2019 entry of the North Korean embassy and now this threat to a former Marine? Good evening to you, Greg.
And good evening to you, John and Gordon. What seems to have happened there is that a defection had already been arranged, and things went wrong. Those inside the embassy who are planning on defecting changed their mind, and then from there, there was chaos. What we do know is that Christopher Ahn is a family man. He's a very gentle man. He has looked after family, after his mother, grandfather, after the passing of his father. He's also an American hero. He was a Marine. He was in the Battle of Fallujah in Iraq, which was one of the toughest battles in the history of the U.S. Marine Corps. So this is an American hero who deserves the full care and protection of the people and government of the United States of America. Gordon has already touched upon the North Korean record. We have to remember that North Korea, the DPRK, is currently one of four states on the U.S. state sponsors of terrorism list as established by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Counterterrorism. North Korea has diplomatic relations with Spain, of course. There's a diplomatic mission still in Madrid. And we do know there is a long-established record indicating that over the decades, North Korean missions have provided cover and served as basis of operations for the surveillance, abduction, and assassination on foreign soil of North Korean, South Korean, and foreign nationals. Gordon has already given a couple of examples. Remember the 2005 assassination of Reverend Kim Dong-sik. This was a highly respected humanitarian, a religious man, an Illinois-based U.S. lawful permanent resident who was abducted by North Korean agents from China and subsequently assassinated. We remember Hwang Jang-yeop, the highest ever defector, the most senior official to ever defect to North Korea prior to his passing from natural causes in December 2010. Overseas North Korean operatives had attempted to assassinate him in South Korea. We also remember the attempted abduction of a North Korean student in Paris in 2014, allegedly because his family had ties to Chang Song-taek. This was the uncle of Kim Jong-un, the one whom he had put on trial in late December 2013, and subsequently executed. So there is a very, very long history of successful and attempted assassinations by North Koreans on foreign soil, including Europe.
Gordon, so you have a question.
The problem would be in grave danger.
Right. You have a question for Greg, Gordon.
Greg, there have been these many assassinations and assassination attempts, as you talk about. Have the North Koreans ever tried that on U.S. soil?
As far as I know, they have not tried that on U.S. soil. Now, I have no doubt that there must be North Korean assets here. However, those would be very precious assets from the viewpoint of the North Korean regime. They would deploy them only if they absolutely had to. It is my view, and I have been a student and practitioner of anything Korea, South and North for 31 years. It is my, please allow me to say, informed view that Christopher Ahn would not be in as much danger if he were to stay here in the United States.
Greg, I want to turn to the larger question of the Korean Peninsula. Now we're into past 100 days of the Biden administration. President Moon traveled to Washington and sat with the president, and the apparent pleasant arrangements. However, one way to interpret this is that President Moon was disappointed in his peace gestures towards North Korea, and as of now, we do not know whether those peace gestures will be reorganized under the Biden administration. Is Moon back home? Is Moon still celebrated as making peace with the North, or has that been put aside?
No, Moon is in trouble on the home front for a variety of issues. Of course, he has placed all of his bets on the North Korea card. That is not going very well. We know who the senior officials and players and decision makers are in the Biden administration. The Biden administration will have a very pragmatic approach to anything North Korea. The Biden administration has reaffirmed on multiple times that, number one, shared values we share with allies, human rights being included in the shared values, will be one of the pillars of the administration's foreign policy. So will be multilateralism. So I do not expect to see human rights being sacrificed on the altar of unconditional engagement with North Korea. If we see any type of U.S.-North Korea engagement, I suspect that it will be closer to the European style, the EU style, principled engagement. And of course, we have a U.S.-EU summit meeting coming up on the 15th of June, just next week. So Moon is in trouble on several counts, I want to say, President Moon. One, of course, is the North Korea policy. The other one is the bad mishandling of COVID-19 in South Korea. The initial stages, social distancing and everything else was done well. But then South Korea, the world's 10th largest economy, has lagged behind on vaccinations, which is inexcusable. Also, due to COVID and some bad economic policy, the South Korean economy is in fairly problematic shape right now. So, yes, President Moon is under pressure. And recent mayoral elections have perhaps been a harbinger of things that might happen. Of course, it was expected for the opposition to win in Busan, which is at the very heart of their support base. However, the mayoral seat in Seoul was won by the opposition, by a conservative, which might be a sign. It's too early to make a prediction, but it might be a sign that this cycle is not going to be the usual 10-year cycle for the ruling party, but a shorter one, perhaps a 5-year cycle. But again, it's way too soon to predict now. We have a long way to go.
Greg Scarlato is the executive director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor, and this is CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.